was his skull. Deacon Vorbis was bald by design. Most of the church's ministers, as soon as they were ordained, cultivated long hair and beards that you could lose a goat in. But Vorbis shaved all over. He gleamed. And lack of hair seemed to add to his power. He didn't menace. He never threatened. He just gave everyone the feeling that his personal space radiated several meters from his body, and that anyone approaching Vorbis was intruding on something important. Superiors 50 years his senior felt apologetic about interrupting whatever it was he was thinking about. It was almost impossible to know what he was thinking about, and no one ever asked. The most obvious reason for this was that Vorbis was the head of the Quisition, whose job it was to do all those things that needed to be done and which other people would rather not do. You do not ask people like that what they are thinking about in case they turn around very slowly and say, "You." The highest post that could be held in the Quisition was that of deacon, a rule instituted hundreds of years ago to prevent this branch of the church becoming too big for its boots, which were of the one-size-fits-all, tighten-the-screws variety. But with a mind like his, everyone said, he could easily be an archpriest by now, or even an iam. Vorbis didn't worry about that kind of trivia. Vorbis knew his destiny. Hadn't the god himself told him? "There," said Brother Numrod, patting Brother on the shoulder. "I'm sure you'll see things clearer now." Brother felt that a specific reply was expected. "Yes, master," he said. "I'm sure I shall."
"Shall. It is your holy duty to resist the voices at all times," said Numrod, still patting.
"Yes, master, I will. Especially if they tell me to do any of the things you mentioned."
"Mentioned. Good, good, good. And if you hear them again, what will you do,
"Come and tell you," said Brother, dutifully.
"Tell you. Good, good, good. That's what I like to hear," said Numrod. "That's what I tell all my boys. Remember that I'm always here to deal with any little problems that may be bothering you."
"Yes, master. Shall I go back to the garden now?"
"Now. I think so, I think so. And no more voices, you hear?"
Numrod waved a finger of his non-patting hand, a cheek puckered.
"Yes, master." "What were you doing in the garden?"
"Hoeing the melons, master," said Brother.
"Melons? Melons," said Numrod slowly. "Melons, melons. Well, that goes some way towards explaining things, of course."
An eyelid flickered madly. It wasn't just the great god that spoke to Vorbis in the confines of his head. Everyone spoke to an exquisitor sooner or later. It was just a matter of stamina. Vorbis didn't often go down to watch the inquisitors at work these days. Exquisitors didn't have to. He sent down instructions, he received reports, but special circumstances merited his special attention. It has to be said, there was little to laugh at in the cellar of the Quisition, not if you had a normal sense of humour. There were no jolly little signs saying, "You don't have to be pitilessly sadistic to work here, but it helps." But there were things to suggest to a thinking man that the creator of mankind had a very oblique sense of fun indeed, and to breed in his heart a rage to storm the gates of heaven. The mugs, for example. The inquisitors stopped work twice a day for coffee. Their mugs, which each man had brought from home, were grouped around the kettle on the hearth of the central furnace which incidentally heated the irons and knives. They had legends on them like, "A present from the holy grotto of Ossory," or "To the world's greatest daddy." Most of them were chipped, and no two of them were the same. And there were the postcards on the wall. It was traditional that when an inquisitor went on holiday, he'd send back a crudely coloured woodcut of the local view with some suitably jolly and risque message on the back. And there was the pinned-up, tearful letter from Inquisitor First Class Ishmali Pop Quoom, thanking all the lads for collecting no fewer than 78 obols for his retirement present, and the lovely bunch of flowers for Mrs. Quoom, indicating that he'd always remember his days in Number 3 Pit, and was looking forward to coming in and helping out any time they were short-handed. And it all meant this: that there are hardly any excesses of the most crazed psychopath that cannot easily be duplicated by a normal, kindly family man who just comes into work every day and has a job to do. Vorbis laughed.